Well, there was also lots of mention of the military last night. Tammy Duckworth, who lost her legs in Iraq and is making her second run for an Illinois House seat, spoke. There are references to President Obama removing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, of course, Michelle Obama's work with wounded warriors was highlighted. Mitt Romney was the first Republican presidential candidate since 1952 to accept the nomination without ever mentioning war. And this is the first time in 80 years that neither candidate has any military experience. But on Labor Day, we met plenty of people who do have it. We went to a fundraiser for the group Red, White, and Blue. Now, they're a terrific organization. They help veterans adjust to home life through sporting events like road races. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. But the event itself was part old-fashioned Southern barbecue, part networking incubator for young entrepreneurial vets. Our host was Paula Broadwell. She lives here in Charlotte. She's become quite an advocate for vets. She is one, a West Point grad. She wrote a biography of David Petraeus and introduced us to some new thinking among veterans.
There are some really strong, resilient people here that have experienced post-traumatic growth, which is kind of the opposite of post-traumatic stress, and, you know, and it's not a disorder, but they've really learned from those experiences in war and the trauma and have turned their lives into something more productive than ever was in combat.
Post-traumatic growth, a new phrase in the veteran lexicon, reflected here in stories of entrepreneurship and a desire to recover the sense of purpose these veterans felt in war. Roger Hufstetler served as a Marine in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's now trying to affect change in the workplace.
Well, there's one of the sort of ancillary consequences of the low percentage of participation as veterans in the workforce is that when you come back overseas, there aren't that many veterans in corporations that will hire other veterans.
In other words, young veterans need networking. They also need new technology, and they're impatient waiting for it. Retired Marine John Cunningham lost part of his right arm in Iraq in 2005. As he spoke with us, he held a beer bottle in the prosthesis hook that now serves as his right hand.
I'm still wearing what I believe to be the best, most comfortable and useful solution available, which is a hook that was patented in 1912. And so as an engineer, that's the problem I'm trying to solve. I was an engineer on one of the DARPA prosthetic arm projects, and I have just launched my own company called Stumpworks, with which I'm trying to potentially get involved in some of the more high-tech long-term stuff, but I'm actually trying to tackle some of the really low-hanging fruit, low-tech solutions that are improvements of the things that I and many other arm amputees are actually wearing today. In contrast to World War II, we haven't actually made any advances in those low-tech things this time around, so I'm trying to change that.
One thing we're hearing here over and over again is the entrepreneurial spirit of the returning vets.
A colonel that I worked for called it the seventh troop leading step. Just do it yourself, and that's the step I'm on.
Retired Marine John Cunningham. We're going to meet more entrepreneurial vets, but we also spent some time with Michael Breen, Army captain in Iraq and Afghanistan, and today Vice President of the Truman National Security Project. They train young vets to assume leadership positions in national security.
This is a generation of people who know how to get things done. This is a generation of people who can be an asset to this country, who can be an asset to your business, who can be an asset to your community. The average veteran coming out of military service in Iraq or Afghanistan has had more responsibility at a younger age than anyone else in American life. They know how to solve problems. I don't think I did much of anything I was trained to do in Iraq and Afghanistan. I spent most of my time improvising solutions to problems. If you run a business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're looking to build a political infrastructure in your community, if you're looking to start an NGO, these are the people who can help you figure out how to get the mission accomplished, whatever that mission is.
What would you say is missing from the dialogue last week, and what would you like to hear in the week coming? I mean, what can a presidential candidate say?
I personally think that we have a president who's done an incredible job keeping faith with veterans. There's a lot left to do. But Mitt Romney asked us last week, are we better off than we were 4 years ago? I work with veterans. I do national security policy. I can emphatically tell you we were better off than we were 4 years ago. Think about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, Americans were dying in Iraq. Veterans were coming home at the beginning of the financial crisis just in time to discover that their savings had eroded, that if they were in the National Guard or the Reserve, maybe they lost their jobs when they were gone, maybe their house was about to be foreclosed on. I mean, the recovery hasn't been what we'd hoped, but we are recovering. I mean, if you want to know if we're better off than we were 4 years ago, go ask an Army sergeant who can tell his daughter or his son tonight that daddy's never going back to Iraq again.
but there are still Americans being killed in Afghanistan. As you know, there's huge debates within military circles. John McCain, who says it's a mistake on the part of Barack Obama to announce when the troop pullout's going to be. Nothing from the Republicans except for one comment from Clint Eastwood about either Afghanistan or Iraq. Your thoughts?
I found that a bit shocking. You know, a man has had a coming out party campaigning to become the commander-in-chief. When Americans are fighting and dying overseas and hasn't mentioned the conflict, mentioned it at all. You know, I think the mismanagement of the war for years afterward said nothing about it. But it's important to remember, yeah, we still have people dying over there and dying in greater rates. We've taken a lot of casualties, about 1,000 casualties in the last 17 months versus 1,000 casualties in the first years and years of the war. I think it's a tragedy if we forget that those men and women are still out there.
What about criticism of Barack Obama as a military leader, that he's personally choosing the kill strikes in Pakistan? This is with the drones, that perhaps he gave insider information to a filmmaker about the attack on Osama bin Laden's compound.
First of all, I think it's a bit strange that there's criticism that the administration may have leaked information about the Navy SEALs to a filmmaker, which I don't think they did. But the Navy SEALs themselves just produced a film about themselves, starring themselves, called Act of Valor, that a lot of people saw. So I think that's a bit mistaken. More broadly, though, I think the proof is in the pudding, and we've got to look at results. 23 of the top 30 al-Qaeda commanders are off the battlefield under this president. Osama bin Laden, as we all know, is off the battlefield under this president. We left Iraq in good order with our flag flying and cased our colors with honor under this president. I can tell you in the darkest days of that conflict, there was nothing guaranteed about that at all. It was not an easy win. So I think it's telling that Condoleezza Rice last week was asked to identify a failure of the president's national security policy. Couldn't come up with anything.
That's Michael Breen, vice president of the nonprofit Truman National Security Project, at a gathering in Charlotte to benefit an organization called Red, White, and Blue. For more on them, go to herenow.org. And by the way, of course, we want to mention, we know that there are veterans who have been vocal critics of the Obama administration. But these apparently are veterans who came to this event on Monday to network, to meet up with each other, and to start businesses. More on that in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back to our backyard barbecue conversation with some young veterans in the Charlotte area at a fundraiser for Team Red, White, and Blue. That's an organization that supports returning vets by getting them involved in sports. We'll link you at herenow.org. But as you've been hearing, it was also a chance for young veterans to network. Our host was our friend and a veteran, Paula Broadwell, author of All In, a biography of David Petraeus. She helped wrangle the crowd around a guest with some star power.
We're going to accost John for about 10 more minutes, and then I'm going to make some remarks. So keep your remarks short with him, grab pictures, and then we're going to move out.
John is John Stewart. Their friendship was sealed in a push-up challenge on his Daily Show.
Go on without me. Leave me here. How many did you get?
I stopped it. 60?
60. All right.
Good job. That was awesome.
20 grand to whatever you want.
That $20,000 that Paula won that day went to Team Red, White, and Blue. John, who's made several trips to today's war zones, has taken up their cause as well.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Fine. What is your support of these returning veterans?
For me, it's just simple respect. I just feel like we all owe it to those that sacrifice so much for us to not forget about that, not just fighting the wars, but also then reintegrating everybody back into society. You just don't want to see them go through it alone.
How you doing, John?
How are you?
Common,
new
veterans
nice
outreach for the DNC.
Oh,
this is, I'm here with Major General Kelly.
Oh, hey. It was something out there. How long have you been back?
4 months.
Oh, good. As they start to draw down, what are they? Is it the perimeter stays the same and they just draw down out of the center?
They're just going to start rotating certain districts over, transitioning them to the Afghan National Security Forces.
And these veterans are definitely of the Daily Show generation. We met up with Jason Green, who served in the Navy during the Iraq War, and Matt Victoriano, who led a Marine sniper team in Iraq, two tours. We asked what they wanted people to know about today's young veterans. Matt started.
There's a very important fact that not a lot of people think of, and it's the fact that veterans, they find such importance and purpose in life in the military, and they gain these critical skills and experiences. And when they come back to the States, one of the biggest contributors and causes for issues like PTS is the fact that they can't find that same purpose and importance. And that's something that I've had to deal with. You know, I led 2- and 4-man teams behind enemy lines, and there's no greater feeling of importance of keeping those guys alive and supporting, you know, 900 other Marines and keeping those guys safe. And I come back to the States, and they're like, well, we want to help out veterans and give you job training to go work, you know, at a blue-collar job where I'm sitting behind a desk and somebody's yelling at me because I'm not typing fast enough. That's why people are finding it hard to adapt. You have to keep that service. You know, veterans don't come back from combat and say, oh, I served, I'm done. It's a continuous experience that they take with them for the rest of their lives. And if they don't have the ability to do that, there's a real big issue there.
Well, so what are you doing?
Right now, I'm in the process of starting up a veterans brewing and advocacy training program where I can help veterans find that purpose and influence, not only train them in brewing and establishing their own microbreweries where they own it and run it, but also in the messaging for issues that are important to them. That's really where I found a lot of my purpose.
Wow, so you've combined beer and having a purpose.
Imagine getting a beer bottle in the store, and on the label, not just with the logo, you find the face of a veteran and his short story in a paragraph and how he's contributing to society and making an impact.
How far are you along in it?
I'm done with the business design. Now I just need the funding, and it's Intrepid Life Brewing.
I started my own venture since I've been out, and it's called We Serve Again. Just like he said, you need that sense of service.
What's your name?
Jason Green.
And how did you serve?
I served in the Navy from 1998 to 2004. I come to events like this to try and meet guys like this, and the biggest thing for me was I convinced a friend of mine to finally go write a book. He's a veteran, you know, he'd been out, and he's just been, like he said, working those menial blue labor jobs. But he finally wrote his book, and he gave me that phone call, and he said, Jason, thank you.
And this gave you a sense of purpose because you had led him to that.
Right, right. I mean, I work for Duke Energy right now. I'm a reactor operator, but I don't get job satisfaction when I come home at the end of the day. But getting that phone call and then meeting guys like Matt here, he's out there, and he's trying to give vets that same sense of purpose. A friend of mine told me this, is that you serve your country once, but you're a veteran for the rest of your life. So we already have that desire to serve, just tapping into that and getting them, hey, continue your service, serve again. And the way we do that, and especially in this faltering economy, is through small business creation.
What are you not hearing from the politicians, and what do you want to hear from President Obama? We already heard from the Republicans.
Well, the one good thing I'll say is Michelle Obama's Joining Forces program. They were trying to get 100,000 hired, 100,000 veterans, and from what I just received is that they have 120,000 already.
This was tax credits for people who hire veterans.
That's a component of it, and a lot of small businesses don't even realize there is a tax credit out there. But I guess what I'm hearing is that when I got out of the military, my transition program was pretty much a see ya. Your resume is the most important thing for all these corporations out there, the Banks of America, the Duke Energies. But as a veteran and you're in combat situations, you don't know how to translate that into corporate speak.
Yeah, and it's comprehensive. It's not we're going to give you free counseling. It's we're going to give you the education, context to incubate that idea and to continue to grow as well.
That's Marine veteran Matt Victoriano, just as part of a sample of opinions of veterans here in the Charlotte area, saying he wants the government to help him grow a company. Well, in the couple of minutes before we take a break, we've got Peter Walston of the Washington Post with us here, and let's hear a little more about last night's speeches. Young San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro told of his family's humble beginnings. He said, my mother held a mop so I could hold a microphone, and blasted Mitt Romney as out of touch.
Mitt Romney, quite simply, doesn't get it. A few months ago, he visited a university in Ohio and gave students there a little entrepreneurial advice. Start a business, he said. But how? Borrow money if you have to from your parents, he told them. Gee, why didn't I think of that?
Well, Peter, as we go into the break, combining immigration and student loans.
Well, Julian Castro is 37-year-old mayor of San Antonio. He's a new figure on the national stage. Democrats see him as somebody who can really help turn on the Hispanic vote. You know, Democrats have a huge lead among Hispanic voters, but oddly, they don't have any big Hispanic national stars, and they hope he can answer that, fill that gap.
They might have born one last night. Okay, Peter Walston will be with us for the rest of the program. We're listening to the Chicken Shack Boogie. Kind of immortalizes a Price's Chicken Coop here in Charlotte, and we'll explain more. This is music from Charlotte. We'll hear more later in the program, but the latest news is next, here and now.